Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. You're listening live with Calling All Leaders and Healers with host Barbara White. Barbara White is a gifted intuitive, holistic therapist, and spiritual teacher. She is the creator of the self-acceptance process and has a master's in transpersonal psychology and eco-psychology, diploma of homeopathy, and is a published author. Called the midwife to the soul, Barbara has ignited hundreds into knowing their inherent worth and facilitated the birth of their innate gifts. Barbara is the owner of the Accepted As I Am Center, certified in advanced auricular medicine, Shambhala Master, Reiki Master, Qigong Practitioner, and is a black belt in Ishininru Karate. Her books, Why Self-Acceptance is So Powerful, and Self-Acceptance Process and Magnificent You, are available on Amazon. Barbara's drive and passion to teach comes from knowing that if someone is willing to look within and grow, they can be a healer and leader to others. And now I give you your host, Barbara White.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for taking the time to be with you, to be with the presence, the beauty, the love that wants to emerge in, as, and through you. Here at Calling All Leaders and Healers, we hold the knowing that anyone and everyone can be a leader and a healer. A leader is one that leads through living example, who doesn't necessarily need followers. So you can be a leader without actually even having followers. It's more followers. It's more from knowing that when you look within and do your inner growth, when you love yourself, which takes a courageous heart, you become a vibrational and leader on the planet to the paradigm shift that is happening. And healing means to remember our wholeness, and you cannot give what you have not received. And so receiving love, receiving compassion, receiving a knowing of your true nature, your true self, which is love, which is beauty, which is the presence of all things, and include your humanity. When you remember that, you offer like a vibrational tuning fork to others, a remembrance of their wholeness, their truth. And all these things can't really be, words do not teach. It's through going deep, going inward on a daily basis, and knowing that if you're on the path, if you're listening to this, you are. It's a journey that you're already on, and that self-love, self-acceptance is the doorway to creating real foundational change in your body, in your life, and in your relationships. Otherwise, just changing behavior, just changing the external, just changing maybe a technique of how to manipulate a situation, that takes a lot of work. It can work. But the changing within, which is founded on self-love and being able to witness both your dark and lighter parts of yourself, dark meaning fear, doubt, worry, anger, sadness. So last month, we had Marianne Williamson, Tears to Triumph, on the show, and I was so honored and grateful to host her. Her book talks about exactly what I'm talking about, so it was an incredible fit of how that we have to go through the pain, and that right now there's such a powerful transition that's happening on the planet that a lot of people are feeling that. A lot of people are feeling some really heavy layers of anger, fear, and that to let them know that that's normal, that if you're connected to the earth and the planet right now, you're feeling those changes, you're feeling those shifts, and you're really being called forward. There's an evolutionary impulse being called forward to give of themselves in only the way they can, that there's this impulse to grow, that if you just look at how many people are asking, what is my purpose, what am I here to do, it's pretty incredible. So Marianne's book that explained beautifully why we really need to do this process, why we need to go within, and then she gave steps and tools based on Christianity and Buddhism of what this means to really shed the limited self-identity. Those are my words, not hers, but that if you haven't picked up Tears to Triumph, it's a really good book. She's, of course, an incredibly articulate writer and speaker, and if you know anyone that's in a big transition, transition is good, right? It's transition means you're coming to the other side of yourself. And so if you know anyone that is in a big transition, maybe they're just having all this emotion come up and they need to know what's going on, pick up that book. Or if they're going through a divorce or a job change, I mean, there's so many people. Tears to Triumph is an incredible resource. So really thanking Marianne Williamson and that whole experience of hosting her interview, just feeling renewed into my own work around self-acceptance, personally and professionally. I felt really renewed of how important it is for people to know their worth, to know that they're valuable. And what a rebel, an incredible rebel it takes to say that I'm going to claim my innate worth. And there's a claiming to it, but there's also a yielding, a opening, a conscious surrender. Because when you decide to open to your worth, you say, okay, I'm going to open to my innate worth. I'm tired of doing whatever I'm doing to try to prove my worth. Caretake to a loved one and obsessively worry about them, or work really hard and the amount of money I feel good about myself, or what the number says on the scale, or how happy my kids are. If they're happy, I feel happy about myself, which is different than feeling a genuine joy for your kids being happy, but happy about yourself when they're happy. That's a difference, right? So to claim your innate worth, it takes a level of rebellious spirit. You got to be a rebel to say, I'm going to break these agreements with what the world tells me makes me worthy. World tells me to eat this way, believe this way, weigh this weight, look this way, and even breaking the agreements with roles you may play, that roles meaning your gender as a male or female, and what that societally tells you have to do to be worthy. So to begin to sink deep within and say, I am worthy, I'm willing to know my worthiness, that's a big threshold to cross. The next step is to remember that pain is a gift, fear, doubt, worry, anger, sadness, that the off-ramp of hell is also the on-ramp. And what do I mean by that? I mean that when a pain comes up, if you can be with it without adding stories of, what do we do, right? It's my fault or it's their fault. Or we get obsessed in, why am I feeling this way, right? Those are the three main traps. There's many more, of course. But why am I feeling this way? It's my fault. I'm broken. I'm bad. I'm horrible. I'm stupid for feeling this way. Or it's their fault. But if we can really see the fear, doubt, worry, anger, sadness as a gift and go, great, this is here. Yes, it's here. And hold that level of awareness. And then a willingness to change your mind. You don't go looking for it, but just a willingness. Then the off-ramp of hell, which got the on-ramp, the pain got you on that way of suffering and feeling separate from life, separate from others, separate from the earth, separate from community. The off-ramp is the pain. And then it's using tools, yes, tools of support. Whether it be reading Tears of Triumph or listening to this podcast or going out in nature or working with a holistic therapist or my guest coming up, going to a human awareness meeting or retreat. So it's knowing that the healing is already done. You're already whole. You're already complete. That it's actually humble to accept your wholeness, your magnificence, because you're saying, yes, you are a complete expression of the cosmos, like a cell is a complete expression of you. The part can represent the whole. We see that in nature. We see that in our biology, and we can also see that in our own psychology, that the whole represents the part, meaning you have all the qualities of creation within you. That's already done. That's already there. That's 80%. It's already done. In fact, it's actually technically 100% already done. But just for the sake of the human experience, let's say 80% done, because the 10% is your willingness to be with the pain. And then the other 10% is asking for help, asking for a tool. And that 20% is crucial, because we can block our own healing, thing you don't know or haven't seen. We can stay stuck for years. So asking for help, whether it be, it really needs to be from a person of some form, right? Because humans are an expression of creation. To me, God expresses as people. So it's radically humble. That radical humbleness is actually oneness. and that 10% of asking for help is so important. One of the big teachers for me, there was really two big teachers around the power of community. One was Naropa University and doing their program, their master's program. But the other before that, the big teacher for me was the Human Awareness Institute. I was meditating, I was in service, I was giving love to people that love as me. I was a student of my own divinity. I'd been on the path for many years. I had asked for some support from teachers. I had Michael Beckwith as my teacher, and I had a therapist I worked with, but I really didn't understand community and people. So I spent a lot of time alone. I remember I would be seeing clients during the day, and then I have a lot of time alone. I was single at the time. And so I would spend, you know, 2-3 days where I'd maybe a conversation with them, not really engaging with people. And this went on for like 2-3 years because I had left my previous long relationship. And so I was single for about 3 years. And it was just this level of loneliness that was there. And I kept on trying to fix it and heal it. You ever have that? And my teacher, Michael Beckwith, says, well, you've got to be okay with yourself, that alone means A-L-1, all one. I was like, oh, okay. And I'd get to a place of feeling peaceful, and the loneliness wouldn't be aching, but it was like there wasn't a level of, like, it's not joy, but it was a level of just a warm grandma's hug. You know that feeling where you just feel that warm, like you just had a great meal that was healthy for you, but it nourished the heck out of you? That nourishment feeling. I didn't have that nourishment feeling. And so I went to my first human awareness retreat, and I realized that community, how important community was, how important it was to have people around you. And I think a lot of people don't have that. It's something you have to actually seek out in our culture. We are taught that being alone is stronger, which is not true. We're taught the receiving is weak, which is also not true, because receiving from you is receiving from God. But if I think it's weak, then I will weaken myself. You know, that's the paradox of that. So I went to my first retreat with my friend Shelley, and was so grateful to feel community, people that just wanted to love me because they wanted to love. And experiencing an intimacy with people, realizing that intimacy is not something that's only with your romantic partner. It was that intimacy was connection. And as the Human Awareness Institute teaches, that saying you may have heard, intimacy, into me I see, and that really seeing that I needed people as a human on the planet. I'm not technically human. I'm an expression of God disguised as human. But the reflection of other people, I got to see more of my God self. And as I realized intimacy was connection, that there's intimacy with people, and there's intimacy with the earth, and there's a level of intimacy with friends and pets. And so I'm really grateful to bring on our guests here, Pauline Valvo and Peter Ringel. This was not their intention by any means, but they've incredibly impressed me. Pauline's level of devotion and commitment and presence and powerful strength that's just a feminine grace in her presence when she teaches and facilitates. And her devotion to the path. I mean, it's really, and her level of understanding that the journey, that the struggle that we take as humans to really love ourselves, she's taught me some things around that. And so I'm so grateful to have her in this interview. And I'm just so excited for you to hear her story of how she got started and her wisdom. The other guest, Peter Ringel, he is just, all I can say is emanates love. And I've heard that from so many different people that have met him. And I've truly benefited from his presence and love and facilitation. So I'm excited to bring him in as well and hear his story. So let me tell you a little bit about the Human Awareness Institute. So they give workshops on love, intimacy, and sexuality. And HAI workshops offer individuals and couples the opportunity to make profound change away from isolation and separation. Isn't that true? Towards connection and community. Human Awareness Institute welcomes adults of all ages, relationship statuses, ethnocultural backgrounds, social economic statuses, physical abilities, gender identities, and sexual orientations and or practices. Guided by skilled facilitators. Yeah, they're facilitators, actually. It's amazing to me that the level of training they have to do and experience. So guided by skilled facilitators, participants make real lasting changes in their life. HAI, or Human Awareness Institute. Oh, isn't that a beautiful statement? Uncensored beauty. They have free many workshops, provide an opportunity for you to get a sense of what your workshops are about, what their retreats are about. And so that is the Human Awareness Institute. And then one more thing before I bring them on is I was also called by Spirit to bring them on because of what happened in Orlando. And I think we're going to go into a discussion about how sexual shame and judgment can create craziness. But I think the North America is certainly a lot more aware of that right now, that what shame and judgment can do. So without further ado, I'll bring on Pauline Valvo and Peter Ringel.
Hello, you there?
I am here, yes.
Right,
Peter?
Hi, it's Peter, hi.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure, I've been listening to what you've been saying so far, it's great.
Thank you. Pauline, are you
hi,
there?
Hi, Barbara. Yes, hi, Barbara and Peter. Pauline here. What a lovely introduction and nice way to share how Peter and I have impacted you. My heart was really touched by that, and I feel like we're almost sitting in the same room. Like, I can really sense your presence and your openness, and I have to say, I feel like we've been teachers for one another. We've known each other for, gosh, many years now, and it's been beautiful to witness a sort of our parallel journeys in accepting ourselves more completely and standing and embracing our power and being more of who we are in the world and sharing that with others. So thank you for being my sister on that journey.
Thank you. That's well said. That, we both were coming into that calling in a deeper level for both of us going, oh, yeah, I guess, I can't play small here. Not only does it hurt myself, but it kind of hurts people who need me. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So I'd love to hear each of your stories of what called you into the Human Awareness Institute because your story is everybody's story. As I've listened to enough stories in my own that there's pieces of your story that people will connect with and learn from. And so whoever would like to begin to share that, I would welcome that.
Sure, I'll go first. Is that okay, Pauline?
Yeah.
Sure. So my journey with HAI started actually in 1988. And before that, I had spent quite a bit of time in India with different gurus, teachers, Muktananda, Papaji, Osho are in my background. A guy named Bru Joy is in my background. So I had been in kind of the spiritual realms for a number of years. And when I came to the Human Awareness Institute, I came with my wife. We actually did a workshop one weekend and got married the next weekend and did our level two the next weekend. But we had planned to get married before that level one. So just kind of came in that. And, but when we got there, we had been together for about 3 years and had a good relationship. But there were levels of communication that we didn't even know we were missing out on, levels of intimacy. We didn't know how to ask the right questions or to be more emotionally vulnerable with one another. I kind of bypassed my feelings trying to get to enlightenment and, you know, meditated my way out of my humanness. And And the Human Awareness Institute is the Human Awareness Institute. So it really had me become much more fascinated with the human experience and embracing all the emotions and my sexuality and just really diving into what connection with other human beings are rather than just trying to get straight to the divine and kind of going through the divine through one another. And so we came to our level one, my wife and I, wife-to-be the next weekend and I. It was a very, very profound experience for me. It took me into of what it was to be tender, be connected with other people in a way that was meaningful. I don't think I had had real meaningful relationships before that with my wife. And it opened the door to lots of support and connection through what you were talking about, Barbara, through the vulnerability that creates. And when my wife and I came to our first level one, neither of us wanted to have it. That was fine by both of us. And then some years down the line, Donna changed and started to want to have a child, and I still didn't. We probably would have broken up. Communicate and really be with one another and give space to, you know, have our different points of view and conversation act. And one he wasn't a bad man, he just didn't have a clue how to relate to kids. And I realized when I go to
Peter,
gravitate
Peter, can
toward,
you hear me?
Yeah.
Peter, I gotta pause you for 1 second.
Sure.
Pauline, are you hearing a break in his conversation?
I am, yeah, and I've been staying on mute. I don't think it's from my end.
Yeah, so I don't know if, Peter, you can be in a location. We're missing kind of a couple
uh-huh.
sentences or a couple words after every couple sentences. So I don't
okay.
know if there's a way to, if there's a place in your house that gets better reception.
I'm on a landline, actually.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah.
All right. Well, we'll just...
I could try calling back if that might be helpful.
No, no, I was just seeing if there's anything that we could do or I guess we'll just continue. We'll continue on. And the part that was, I think, pretty crucial that was missed in your story is that when you and your wife came together, you didn't want children. And you said that would have split you up if you hadn't had the tools of communication that Human Awareness Institute offered. And so... Go on from there.
Okay. Maybe I'll speak a little slower. Do you think that helps?
How about this? I'll just let you know if there's a big break and I miss something, I'll let you know. Does that sound good?
Okay. Might as well have fun while we're doing this, huh?
Yeah.
So what I realized was that I was afraid of being a father like my father was to me and why I didn't want to have a child. So I'm now hearing like that. When I talk, there's a static. Does that come through or not?
Yeah, there was. We just missed a few words there in what you were saying. But continue on.
Okay. Anyway, I decided to go ahead and have a child, and what it's turned into, I've had quite a few gurus, and particularly in his, you know, the 2, 3, 4 year old, he was my greatest guru ever, because all I wanted to be in the present tense and be happy, and when he was that age, all I had to do was tune into him, and that's, you know, where I'd end up in the present tense, looking at the ants with So it was just beautiful to see that transition for me and see the gift that Hi was for me to allow myself to get to that place. And I've been leading the workshops ever since for almost 30 years now.
Wow.
I lead maybe 30 weekends a year somewhere in the world, and there's no place else I'd rather be. It's not about the script. It's not about the theme. It's not about the level of the workshop. It's about the human beings in the room and what unfolds among all of us. And the deep, deep healing that goes on is fascinating to be a part of, and I get healed every time I'm there as well.
Yeah, and it really shows that that participating with people, and that there's not a energy to your facilitation, nor Pauline's, but there's, and really in high, but there's a being with the in the one flow, as I would call it. But you're it's like you said, you get the healing with people, and that it's a level of authenticity and humility and connection that I see in your facilitation, and of course I see it in high. But it's 30 a year for the last 30 years. Wow. And you never get bored with it.
Not at all. Because it's alive and in the moment. It's not about the weekend before. It's about this weekend and these people and this moment, you know, whoever's there.
What an incredible story of being able to be with your wife, even though you think that would be a point of separation where a couple say, well, I don't want to have a kid. I do want to have a kid. And that you were able to find a solution in that. And then for your child to be, as you said, your guru, that's so powerful. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. And also, just to let you know, my wife leads the work also. She's involved.
Nice. So, Pauline, what got you involved in HIGH?
Well, my story is a bit different, as everyone's is unique in their way. I was in college at the time, and I had lived my life up until that point doing what everybody else wanted me to do, you know, going to the right kind of school, getting straight A's, being a athlete, you know, all the things that from my culture, from my family was identified as being successful. And I was really, really good at making other people happy. But on the inside, I was miserable. I was severely depressed and struggling with substance abuse, kind of numb the pain probably, and really lost. And not knowing who I was. And I would come home from college and visit my parents, and I witnessed this amazing transformation in my father, who had been pretty distant most of my life and hadn't touched me since I went through puberty. And all of a sudden, he started offering me hugs and making eye contact with me and really listening and asking me things about myself. And I was blown away. You know, it was like, who are you and where did my dad go? But, it was really dramatic. But I was so touched by it and so thankful for the friendship we were creating that I asked him what created the change in him. And he finally told me about the weekend workshops he was part of. And I said, well, if that's the change I'm seeing in you in less than 6 months, I want to go do that. And so he paid for me to go to my first weekend workshop. I was 20. It was in 1998, and it completely transformed my life. I had an experience of walking into that room and being greeted with unconditional love and acceptance. And I had never felt that way before. And it enabled me to start healing. And I shared about experiences of sexual abuse that had happened a few years previously that I had never talked about. And that opened up a healing for me and letting go of the shame. And I was able to start accepting my body and seeing myself as beautiful. And started healing some shame around my sexual orientation. I had grown up in a really conservative environment and was taught that being homosexual was a sin. But I knew from the time I was a young girl that I was attracted to women. And so I hid that part of myself. And I felt really guilty about that. And so being in an atmosphere where I could explore who I was sexually and then heal that guilt and actually step into being proud of who I am was completely transformational. It lifted me from that place of depression. I mean, being able to shine my light for who I really am created expansiveness. And so I never left. You know, I thought, well, this is the most amazing thing I've experienced, where I can be all of who I am, and I have been involved ever since. I quickly became part of the team that produces the Michigan workshop, and then since 2003, I've been in leadership, leading different of the workshops, and I'm the newest weekend workshop facilitator, just almost a year now. I've been certified to do that, and so I'm the ninth. There's currently nine of us, and we travel around in different pairs and lead the weekend workshops. And, you know, I'm really in a place of service to this organization and to creating more love in the world. And wherever I can step in and help, however I can be in service of that mission, that's what I'll do, because I believe so deeply. Wow.
And she does it incredibly.
Yes, she does. So, either of you would like to answer this. Why does the world need Hi?
Well, it's almost like, why doesn't it? I think there's so many reasons, and I think everybody can get value from attending a Hi workshop. The main sentence in our mission that really resonates with me is replacing ignorance and fear with awareness and love. And I really think almost everything can boil down to that. I mean, you mentioned Orlando when we started, and that was an event that really affected me personally. I'm very active in LGBT activism, and with finally feeling like, you know, we've made some progress here in this country and feeling optimistic and being public in the world about who I am. And then that event happened, and it was so shocking and awful. And, you know, I just cried, and my initial reaction was fear. It was, well, gosh, it's dangerous to be out in the world. It's dangerous to go to gay clubs, and do I want to do this anymore? And I spoke that, and I felt that. I just allowed that heaviness. And I quickly shifted back to a fierce devotion to love and to awareness, because that's more powerful. That vibration is more powerful than fear. And I believe every time we choose love over fear, we're creating more peace in the world.
Ah, yes. Yes. And that you saw, that is so powerful that you saw how fear can actually birth that fierce devotion, and let you allowed that fear from Orlando, and you saw that you could have made story about it. You could have got really angry about the shooter. You could have studied the case, and you could have got into all the nitty-gritty of it, and you could have done that for weeks or months, and yet you realized it was about you going deep into your experience and allowing that to bring forth what it produced for you, which was that fierce devotion to love. And you didn't buy what most humans buy, that fear somehow protects us, that fear somehow keeps us safe. And you knew that it was more about, and as you said in the statement, that it's about replacing fear with love. And that is so powerful. When people hear that, when they hear replace fear with love in the mission statement of Hi, what does that really mean? Peter, can you speak on that?
Sure. For me, it's an organic process of not trying to jump over the fear or make the fear wrong or make it bad. It's just like Pauline was saying, she felt all her feelings about it, and in the organicness of feeling the feelings without judging them, like you were saying earlier, actually, you know, without judging them and just making yourself a victim around them, but just fully embracing the human experience of the fear in this case or the anger in other cases or whatever the feeling might be, then organically it goes through the body and comes out and opens up a space that gets filled in with love. So it's about allowing ourselves to be human and have those feelings and not push them down or not make them wrong or not having good and bad feelings, but to be in the fascination and the vulnerability to feel the feelings fully. And when you're actually in the feeling of the feeling, if you really observe closely, it's not an unpleasant experience. The mind tells you it's an unpleasant experience because the mind loses control when you feel feelings, and the mind doesn't want to lose control. But if you let the story that it's actually a negative experience to the feelings, it's really to just allow that. And then as it passes through, it carves out space in you that gets filled up with love. So that's...
I think another layer to it is detaching the thought from the feeling. Because, you know, like you were saying, Barbara, it's easy to go into story, to go into, oh, you know, after those shootings, I could have looked for every detail and built up this whole elaborate story filled with evidence that I could then use to take action. But, and that can feed, fear. But it's all an illusion. It's all fantasy that is made up. And if I can allow the feeling without analyzing, without letting my thoughts take me down any one road, then like Peter was describing, it can organically shift. And I get to choose the thought that I allow. I get to choose to create my reality. And I'm not willing to choose to remain in thoughts that create fear. I choose thoughts that create love and create connection. And that's been powerful for me. And it's a practice. It's really a meditation, you know, noticing, oh, that's a thought I'm having. Where did that thought come from? Do I choose to keep that thought or not? Over and over all day long.
You know, I think a lot of people have this idea that you aren't supposed to have, quote unquote, negative thoughts, and that, you know, you're not enlightened with those kinds of thoughts passing through. And it's totally not my experience. Thoughts show up, I can do anything about them. But I have a choice once the thought shows up, whether to make it center stage or whether to let it on by like a cloud. And I'm the one that gives it energy or doesn't give it energy. I'm not the one that originates the thought itself, is how I hold it. So then I don't have to feel guilty or feel wrong or feel like, oh my God, I had a negative thought. How horrible a person am I? Because those thoughts come from who knows where, and they come quicker than they're created. But that next moment is the moment of choice as to whether you blow it up into making it reality or say, oh, that's an interesting one. We'll let that one go. What's next?
I love that. Just Peter, when you said the mind interprets the feeling as discomfort, but essentially it's not. And then Pauline, you said how it is this choice to really direct your thoughts and choose your thoughts. And then Peter, you said that I missed the thread of the third. Sorry about that. that was the third part. That what I took away from that is how reminds me of how like the heart keeps on beating and the liver keeps on functioning, and that our brain is kind of like the liver and heart that just keeps on producing thoughts.
Exactly.
And so when you said that the brain is or my thoughts are not really, I'm not the one producing that, that's what a level of healthy identification with thoughts. That's really powerful. So, you know, people are listening to this and they're like, okay, I get that. And they hear the stories, but they read the Human Awareness Institute message and they see teaching love, sex, and intimacy. And what a person can possibly hear, their brain producing thoughts that says, oh, sex, sex, sex. They're talking about sex. And there's alarms that go off in people. Can you speak to some of those alarms that go off in people when they see the word sexuality in something?
You want to take it or me, Pauline?
Well, I was just thinking this fits in nicely with what I was sharing about my story around all of the shame that healed in me around my sexuality. And I don't think I can speak to every potential alarm that might go off for anybody, you know, because it's going to be different for each individual. But I think people have a lot of different reactions when they see sexuality in the title of our workshop. From some people thinking, oh, yes, I can't wait to go learn about that, to some people being scared or knowing that they have trauma in their past that might come up. And there's a place for everybody in our workshop. We do a lot of talking about sexuality in a way that naturalizes it, that feels really safe, and gives people an opportunity to do some profound healing and maybe share things that they have never shared. We do not have hands-on sexual activity at the Love is a Miracle workshop. It's not about, you know, some people might have this fantasy, we're all just going to get together and have a big orgy. And as much as that could be fun in certain situations, some people might love that, that's not what our workshop is about. It's really about healing our sexual past and embracing ourselves as the natural, healthy, beautiful sexual beings that we are. For me, it's directly connected to my life force energy. When something's out of tune in me sexually, when there's shame or I'm shut down, that impacts my creativity, my self-confidence, my comfort in the world. And so I'm so grateful to have a place where I can go and heal and share and feel met and accepted. And I think that's what we do at our workshop. Anything to add, Peter?
Sounds great, sweetie. And what I might add with that is maybe sex is much bigger than what most people picture, which is some kind of genital contact, you know. And we have an acronym for sacred energy exchange or spiritual energy exchange. And so maybe looking into someone's eyes, is, you know, maybe gently one's face is a sacred energy exchange. You know, there's lots of different ways to connect with people that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the genitals. And a lot of people really get much more comfortable in their own body and feeling all the feelings in their body and being taking up residence inside their body and getting rid of shame for the size, shape, or whatever of their body and just accepting themselves in the body they're in. And that's a form of honoring ourselves in a form of way. So whatever, it's much bigger than what most people picture it to be. And I can understand many people actually say, you know, when I came here to the workshop, all I heard was sex in the title, just like you mentioned, you know. And then they realize it's so much more than what they pictured.
It's, yes, thank you. And that's that, for me, speaking to an alarm that it's, when I had so much religious programming around sex, and so all sorts of beliefs that sex was evil or sex was bad, and I like that word that you used, Pauline, that normalizes it. And it was a big, it took me many years to understand that sexuality was life force energy in my body, and it was something that didn't belong to somebody else. I didn't need a partner to make that real inside of me, and came to understand through the help of High of how sexuality is an expression, an energy quality. It's a quality of my soul. And then saying no different than some of the other wisdom traditions talk about how the second chakra is our prostate health and uterus health. And it's our ability to be, it's our creativity. And how if there's blocks there that can show up as hip pain and urogenital problems and so much of disassociation on the planet already, meaning people trapped in their mind and trapped in their thoughts, and that feeling safe in their body, root chakra, but second chakra, that when the sexual life force is turned off, and to your point, Peter, it's not about just two genitals coming together, that it's so much more than that. And yeah, so my journey of like letting that energy move through me was a big component for healing all sorts of neurological issues in my body and nature and sexual life force. And again, I'm not saying anything traditional Chinese medicine hasn't said for thousands of years. Well, if you have that part of your energy system shut down, whether you've been taught sexuality is evil or bad or what have you. So, yeah, that's normalizing it has been, it's like we could probably spend the whole show just unpacking that word, but normalizing sex as part of my body. Like some teachings you both have offered me around, okay, sexuality is no different than your toe. It's no different than your finger. You know, it's like, like that level of elementary teaching. I know I needed that. Like, oh, okay. It's not the scary monster that's somehow outside of me. And if I touch it, I'm gonna turn into a monster that's gonna have sex with, do some crazy stuff, and have sex with people I don't want to, or whatever. Like it's part of me. It's not this thing that's gonna consume me, or So thank you for all that, and thank you for addressing some of the alarms that people may be feeling as they see the love, sex, and intimacy. So from a personal perspective and human awareness perspective, what do you feel that let's talk about some stories that you've seen, some changes. Do you have any in all the years that you've been in high, 98, 18 years, Pauline, and 30 years, Peter, what would you say is some of the stories that you just of changes you've seen? What are some of the golden nuggets there you've seen with people?
So for me, I'm not real good at accessing memories that way, but I can give you more feeling qualities of what I've seen. And people, there are nine different levels to shop, and level one is has its own little theme to it, and you can just do one workshop and come back, or you can go, take them one at a time if you so choose. And what I've seen is level three, a person will stand up in front of the room and they'll say, they'll be in tears of gratitude actually, and say, I don't even recognize one before the first work. It's actually a
on. Peter, what was the second half of your sentence that we lost it? They're standing up in tears. I don't even recognize, and then we lost you there.
Okay, the person who I was before my first level one, before I came, that they're so profoundly changed. And, people talk about, they've gone to other workshops and kind of gotten something from them, but there hasn't been lasting change for them. And I don't actually know why ours are so profoundly moving to people on a molecular level, and why that change is so so deep and lasting for people. And, I see what happens in the room, and maybe I'm just so accustomed to it that it's my everyday reality to watch this incredible transformation go on, and that is the experiences that are reported again and again and again. And people also feeling a part of something. In today's society, I think it's hard to find things that you really believe in and can put all of your energy into. And some people, that's what their experience is, and it becomes a central part of their life. Other people just come to, different weekends and go back into their lives and take the gifts back into their life and aren't as involved in the community that's going on outside the workshops. But there is a huge community, particularly here in the Bay Area where we have so many workshops, but also all around the world in the smaller sites, that there's just a profound sense of belonging, I guess, because of the vulnerability and because of the intimacy and because of the connection that happens during the weekend. People tend to go back into their lives and want to keep connecting with one another because they can have real conversations and they can have real support, and people know how to listen without trying to fix people and receiving people. And it's really quite a profound thing to be in the middle of, I'll tell you. It's amazing.
So well said. Thank you. Pauline, do you have anything to add to that?
One thing we haven't talked about, which I normally do, is how powerfully High teaches about choice and
and about boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I witnessed just those two concepts drastically changing people's lives. You know, especially people coming out of an abusive background, learn for the very first time how to say no, how to stand up for themselves. I've witnessed people come out in their sexual orientation and then choose to live in the world as who they really are and how they've felt on the inside all along. I've seen couples come to our workshops on the verge of breaking up, and then through the workshop and through the tools they learn, it saves their marriage. I've, you know, personally, actually, I met my ex-husband at a workshop. We had a beautiful 12-year relationship with wonderful skills from high. And when it was time for that relationship to end, we had an amazingly beautiful divorce, which I credit to high. So there's other people that do that. They learn how to disengage, how to let a relationship transition in a respectful, honoring, loving way. You know, it's endless, the lessons and the transformations I see in people's life. But I would say one of the big themes is people become happy. They become more confident and comfortable with who they are and are more fully, like, self-actualized and living in the world and bringing their gifts.
So we are approaching towards the end of our time. And any closing words that would you like to leave people with, and contact information?
Yeah, what's left for me is I really trust people that get drawn to our work, and I trust people don't. It isn't for everyone, but there is. It's almost all spreads through word of mouth, actually, because it's such a profoundly intimate subject. You know, it's hard to look on the web and see the word sexuality and trust to come to a weekend around that. There's just something is you have to be ripe. You have to do it and know that that's the part that appeals to you. So if anything Pauline and I have appeals to you in any way on this show, or you know anybody that's been there, talk to them a little more about it. There's probably been, I don't know, how many, Pauline, 80, 100,000 people that have done this at this point?
Yeah.
I'm not even sure over the years, but, you know,
wow.
Many, many people. And so I just really, really trust those of you listening to this. You know, if you're kind of curious about it, there are mini workshops. They're free one-evening things that really give you a sample of it, give you an experience of it rather than us just talking about it. And that's a great way to enter into it, because it's a free evening event that Lynn can talk more about because she's in that area.
Well, do you have listeners from all over, Barbara?
I do. Yes. So they are we are world. Body, Mind, Spirit Radio is worldwide. Yes.
Yeah. So great. That's one thing I wanted to mention, which is that we do workshops in many locations across the United States, in Canada, in Germany, in the UK, and Australia. So if this is resonating with you and you're feeling drawn to be part of this, please go to our website, and there's so much great information on there, and you can find contact information for all our different regions, and you can write workshops on our website also. And the website, okay, I think it's quiet. The website is www.hai.org, so it's hai.org. And it's really a beautiful site with that information. And the other thing, it also lists the free two-hour workshops that Peter had mentioned. And those happen frequently all around. So you can get that schedule. And that's a great way to go and experience what our workshops are like. They're not workshops where you're going to sit and be lectured to and take notes. They're very experiential. So you're actually engaging with other people and then reflecting on what you just experienced so you can learn what's right for you. It's not about teaching, you know, if you do A, B, and C, your relationship will be perfect.
we create an atmosphere of safety, of exploration, so that people can find their true answers. And I believe we all know deep down inside what's right for us, and we just need to allow the healing and the opening so that that can emerge.
Creating an atmosphere, what a difference for people to find their own truth and their own connection, their own wisdom. That's so powerful. And you said safe atmosphere. That's also a key word to that. Do you want to speak to the workshops that you'll be doing this Sunday? Pauline?
I'm trying to think what workshop that is. I'm not personally doing a workshop this Sunday. We have a whole list of all of our upcoming workshops on the website.
Okay.
I think that would be the
Sunday.
Best
I'm sorry,
place.
2 weeks. 2 weeks from now. So I'm sorry, 2 weeks from now. The active listening workshop?
Oh, sure. Well, that's a workshop that, well, that's perfect because I'm doing that workshop at your center, accepted as I am. Now I get the lead in. Yeah, so I'm so thrilled Barbara will be hosting High and hosting me to lead a one-day workshop at her Accepted as I Am Center. And it is a workshop on active listening, which is a tool that is so simple and yet takes a lot of practice to get really good at. And it's a way of listening to another person with compassion, with present awareness, with an open heart, where you reflect back to people what you're hearing. And it is so profound that it can impact relationships, all types of relationships, in a really healthy, beautiful way. So it's a great opportunity to come. It's only $40 for the day, 10 to 6. This is in Plymouth, Michigan. And that workshop is listed on our website. So we'd love to have you come join us and learn just one of the communication tools that we teach in High.
Well, thank you so much, Pauline, and thank you, Peter. Thank you for taking this time to continue spreading love and being a living example and bringing forth the mission of High. So I thank you both.
Thank you, and thanks for the work you're doing as well. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Wonderful, as always, to connect. Thank you for inviting us.
You're very welcome. All right, so that website again was hai.org, the Human Awareness Institute.org. It's a lot of incredible information about their many workshops that you can attend and experience this work. And as Peter was saying, to may know somebody, very good chance that you know somebody that has experienced the Human Awareness Institute workshop and could offer you some support and feeling comfortable in taking this risk in your growth, this healthy risk to love yourself and empower yourself. Thank you so much for taking this time, everybody. And I just want to close with, see how much time do we have? Just a couple minutes. All right. So just close with remembering that your self-love is powerful, that your self-love is not selfish, that as you look within and you love all parts of yourself, that's an incredible gift to your family, to your friends, to your community, and that inner work is a daily practice. Just like you work out every day, you do inner work every day. So this is part of your spiritual study, your meditation, your inner growth, going to workshops, and that you can have a different life, that this process isn't unique to me or anyone else, that this is the level of coming into awareness of about the full beauty and the full magnificence that is truly you. You can also go to my website at barbarawhite.com, BarbaraWhite.com. Also, Facebook message me as well, BarbaraWhite1.com. I post a lot of things there of what's coming up. You can join me every third Thursday. I have teachings of self-acceptance, partner practices, Qigong. We had a gathering last night, a huge turnout. It was just phenomenal. Just incredible love warriors that showed up and was very excited about the work that they did and how that's going to impact the world. I also have coming up in the beginning of January, self-acceptance teachers and leadership certification. If you're ready to empower your own growth and process, it's something you're being called to really step forward even more so into embodying your purpose and your function, do that. And if you want to take healing practice, healing work into the world, this will also do that. So you don't necessarily have to teach or go into healing work to be part of this program. Grateful to say it's already about half full, and that's all on my website at barbarawhite.com. Thank you so much, everyone, for taking this time, and I'm so grateful to promote the Human Awareness Institute. They have helped me, and will go and help another 100,000 people. I mean, what an incredible number. So many blessings, much love, and make it an incredible day. Take care.